This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's 36 minutes after 5 o'clock, 24 before 6. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. We do it every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. It's local talk, local issues. This is local radio at its very best. And it's where Charlottesville comes to talk in the afternoons. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk live with Bill Bowling, the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, Evan Thomas, reporter and author, will join me live from Washington, and Ed Murphy of the University of Virginia will join us with the latest on space news, and Hawes Spencer will be live in studio, of course, this Friday for Fun Fridays with Hawes. Kevin Eds is live in studio. He is a filmmaker, a producer. He's with the Discovery Channel, and he is at work as we speak on a documentary about the history of UVA football, and we have spoken before on the phone many times. It's nice to have you officially here on Rose Hill Drive.
Yes, it's great to actually be here in studio, Coy. Thanks for having me.
Indeed, and I learn as you were coming in the studio that you are familiar with this location. Tell us why.
Yes, as I pulled up, I realized that I actually used to cut the grass here when I was in school. At UVA, so I will admit that I stayed one summer and worked a landscaping job.
Good for you. Built character.
Yes, it did, and I cut many a yard and a field here in Albemarle County.
That's great. And you remember cutting the grass right here.
Absolutely. I thought one day I'm going to be on that radio station.
Kevin, you have arrived.
Excellent.
I hate to say it's my show, but remind us again about this documentary. It's going to premiere this fall at the Virginia Film Festival, which is in November.
Yes, we hope so. We're working very hard on it. Actually, the reason I'm down here right now is to shoot what may be my last set of interviews. Very excited. We will have 40 interviews in the bank from folks from as far back as the 1931 season. We have historians such as you. We have many football players, former UVA football players, coaches too. And tomorrow I'm going to be shooting with Coach Mike London, Joe Palumbo, who was an All-American in the early 50s.
Big fan of Joe's.
Yeah, Gene Corrigan, who was the athletic director here in the 70s, also was a coach here earlier for soccer and lacrosse.
Yeah.
Frank Quayle, who was a star in the 60s, and David Sloan, who was a star in the mid-70s.
Very cool. So all that, they're sitting down with you tomorrow and doing one-on-one with Kevin Eds, and that'll all be in the documentary.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it.
Wow. That's just terrific. And of course, excuse me, for folks who don't know, you were with Bill Dudley before he passed away and got him on camera.
Absolutely.
Talking about his memories of playing for the Cavaliers.
That was such a great interview, and he was such a wahoo through and through. I mean, that guy, you know, like they say, you know, he bled orange and blue.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're talking with Gene Corrigan tomorrow. He's been on this program, and actually, we sat here for an hour, and we talked about his impact on UVA athletics, and it really cannot be underestimated. I mean, we are still in the Corrigan era. He completely changed the tide. He came in, and he made excellence on the field and in athletics as important as excellence in the classroom.
Absolutely.
You can really look back to him around 1971, 72, and the report that he filed with Edgar Shannon, this this paper that he gave him, which said, you know, you want to be good, this is what you got to do.
Right. Without sacrificing academics either.
Yeah, yeah. He's had a tremendous impact. So it'll be great for him to be on camera. So you actually have somebody in your documentary who played for UVA in 1931?
Yes, Dr. John Risher, and he just celebrated his 100th birthday, I believe, last month.
Holy cow!
So, and
gosh,
just a fantastic interview, and just so enlightening to see what it was like, not only to play football, but to attend the university back in 1931. And he grew up in Charlottesville, so he had been going to games since, I believe, 1921. He was there when Calvin Coolidge came down and saw a game on Thanksgiving, and I think it was 1927, maybe. There's so many great interviews here. I can't wait to show people. Actually, I showed you the first couple minutes of the documentary.
And I was blown away. Good. And I watched it over and over again. Folks need to know, this is just first class. It's going to be so good.
Thank you.
And the folks that you have in this, I'm so honored to be a part of this project, because it's really going to be one for the ages. I mean, it really is. And it's more than just the story of the history of UVA football. In many ways, it's the story of football in America.
Absolutely.
Told through the window of UVA, you know?
Couldn't have described it better myself.
Kevin Eds is live in studio. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Now, you, one reason we wanted to have you in today is to talk about your recent article, which was published by The Saber, thesaber.com. And you wrote about the history of UVA football fields. Where did they play? Take us back to the beginning. When did they start playing this?
Sure. Well, it goes back to whether you want to call it football, whether you want to call it soccer, whether you want to call it rugby.
I'd rather call it rugby, because it was probably mostly like that, right?
Right. And there was this gradual transformation into the game that we know it today. But this fall will be the 10th anniversary of the expansion of Scott Stadium. You know, they expanded it to make a bowl all the way around the upper deck.
When it got really deluxe, yeah.
Yes, added the colonnades up there. Not the colonnades, I'm sorry. The, what would you call those grand pillars behind the hill?
Colonnade.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. A bunch of columns.
Yeah, so you and I actually were emailing each other, and I know that Lambeth Field, a lot of fans and people that went to school here, anyone who lived in Lambeth.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.
Thorms knows there's this great concrete structure called Lambeth Field, and that's, you know, behind those dorms. And so I knew about that. I knew UVA used to play football there. But then when I was doing some research, I found out that that didn't open until 1902. So then I'm thinking, well, the UVA football team has been playing since 1888. Where were they playing before then? So you and I started doing some talking, and you had done some research for your book, and I found out some more information. So after about, must have been 20 emails back and forth, I thought, this would make a great article. So wrote this article, and my friends over at The Saber were kind enough to let me actually write a series of articles. I've written one already on the history of the school colors.
Which we've talked about, yeah.
Yep. And then I was able to write this one. And so there's so much information. There's so many stories.
Before we tell any of them, let's go to the phones. Charles is waiting patiently. He's in Albemarle County. Charles, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that Gene Corrigan wrote the playbook on the do's to be successful. Has anybody looked at where we've succeeded, where we've failed in all the different sports, and where they have strayed from the you must do's in order to be good?
I don't know. Is there the modern history, the last quarter of the 20th century? I mean, that's going to be part of your, it's a great question. Yeah. And I'm sure that's part of your documentary, is this story, well, in terms of football, really what has been the story in the last 30 years?
Well, one thing that Gene did was he kind of leveled the playing field. He didn't just go into this saying, when he wrote his report, say, we need to improve everything, we need to give more support. He actually went and did some research. He went to Stanford, he went to Duke, he asked them how they were doing things. He found out what the norm was at schools that you could consider to be in the same echelon as UVA, and he found out that UVA's financial support and the amount of coaches that they had for each and every sport were lacking across the board. I mean, when Gene was here, he was the soccer coach and lacrosse coach. Yeah. He was the freshman basketball coach. He was also the assistant coach for the varsity's basketball team and the lead recruiter. So he was doing everything. And so he basically just wanted to get us up to be able to, you know, come up to par with what Duke was doing and what UNC was doing, because they had, I think, for example, 70 scholarship football players on all the other ACC football teams, and UVA had 13.
Wow.
So he said, look, you know, we need to try to start making it a little easier to compete. But he was also very careful not to put academics, you know, on a second tier.
Yeah.
So he was really smart.
Well, it's UVA. I mean, he knows you can't do that.
Yeah. So I think personally where we are today, the fact that UVA is now, I think, in third place in the overall point standings for the Director's Cup behind Stanford and Ohio State. All I know that you can look at, you know, basketball and football aren't doing as well right now, but all of the other Olympic sports, the national championships that we've won this year in rowing and in soccer,
tennis,
that would not have happened
baseball,
without Gene Corrigan and the
track.
Corrigan Report.
I mean, down the line, if you just don't look at, you know, don't look at the big sports everybody looks at right now, which I believe will change, but look at all the other sports, they're among the very best in the nation.
Right, and to go from having the longest losing streak in college football history, 28 straight games from 1958 to 1960, to then having the number one ranked team in the country in 1990 under George Welsh, and the continued success. I mean, in 1958, people would have loved to have gone 5-7 like we did just a few years ago. So I think Gene Corrigan did an amazing job.
Charles, thank you for the call. We got a line open, 977-1070. We're talking with Kevin Edds of the Discovery Channel, filmmaker, producer. He is at work on a documentary film about the history of UVA football, and it will most likely premiere this fall at the Virginia Film Festival in November. Now, back to your article that you wrote for The Saber about the history of football fields, where they played. So take us back now and share with us some of the things you learned.
Sure. Something that I found fascinating, I'm a big fan of Ken Burns, and I love his work.
No, not you.
No. And I loved his series, Ken Burns Baseball. And one of the things that I found most fascinating about that was he could pinpoint the exact location that baseball became baseball as we know it today. And that was played at a place called Elysian Fields in Hoboken, New Jersey. And that's the first time the official rules of baseball that we know it today, with 9 innings and 9 men on a side, were actually written, codified, and enforced in a game in Hoboken, New Jersey.
The first time that baseball was played where we would recognize it today,
correct.
That's baseball.
Correct. And
because it was so different before that, it's still coming into being.
You could have 15 men on a side. There could be 20 innings. There weren't three outs. The biggest thing was you could throw the ball at people to get them out.
You're kidding. Like kickball.
Yeah,
oh
exactly. So actually one reason they changed that to throwing them out, the way that we see it today, is because not so much to protect the player, but they want to hit the ball farther. So that was really the main reason for that. But I wanted to know, for UVA football, knowing that Lambeth Field didn't open until 1902, but yet the team was playing official games against other colleges, where were they playing these games? So did some research. I've been in the small special collections library, just like you, Coy. I've read the college topics to find out these things, search through photographs and things like that. So I want folks to, I don't want to give everything away here, but if they go to thesaber.com, it's one right there on the homepage, I believe. It's one of the top articles there called Field Report, a history of football fields at UVA. You can see actually there are 4 different locations other than Lambeth Field and Scott Stadium where UVA played football games. And it's a really neat winding story about why one field was not so good and why they moved to the next one and why that one wasn't so good. One thing I will say was that the biggest detriment to the previous fields was that they couldn't keep spectators out. How are you going to charge admission when anyone can just walk up and watch the game? So where are you going to put a fence around this field to keep people out? So, without giving away a location, I think you actually, Coy, told me the story or told me about the account that you found of people complaining because some folks were looking from on top of a hill down at the game and not paying the fees. And the
field that they had built a fence around so they could charge admission. But it happened to be in a little bowl, so there were people on the hills all around, like looking down, watching the game.
Exactly, and they said, why don't you just get up in the trees and watch it if you're going to do that?
Yeah.
And I remember as a first year, a lot of people who lived in the new dorms could, right there overlooking Scott Stadium, could kind of see down, but why do you want to do that? You want to go to the game.
You want to be there, yeah. We're talking with Kevin Edds. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. And for the record, the lawn was never really a choice place to play football.
No, they did start playing there because obviously the students lived there and it was flat and it was nice green grass and they would play games, but professors held classes right there. They didn't want a lot of yelling and cursing and screaming. So,
yeah. I mean, it's not like there were huge classroom buildings elsewhere. That was it. I mean, that was the university. So
correct.
They're all trying to teach in their pavilions, and they don't want kids right outside the door screaming. And
exactly. And like we were discussing with baseball, there would be sometimes 100 people per side. So they needed a larger area to play these games. So they were still trying to figure out the rules. But, you know, one thing that you and I talked about in a previous conversation about Lambeth Field and Professor Lambeth, or Dr. Lambeth, was how he helped change the rules of football in 1909. You know, we talked about Archer Christian's tragic death and how that was the impetus to change the rules of football
yeah.
into more like we know it today.
It's an unbelievable story, and I want to remind people that that's going to be one of the central stories that you follow in your documentary. Can you remind us again? This it is an amazing story, and it really puts UVA Cavalier football at the center of collegiate football and really at a turning point in the history of American football.
Right. So in 1909, deaths in the game of football were just happening at an outstanding rate, both in college and in high school and even, you know, sandlot football. And we're talking dozens and dozens and dozens. And
of kids dying every year.
Every single year.
Yeah.
Yes. The game, just the rules, they didn't allow for the forward pass had just become legal in 1906, but if there was an incomplete pass, it was a turnover. So how many guys, you know, is Coach London going to be calling for a pass play if there's an incomplete pass and it's a turnover? So, you know, he's going to stick to the ground. So there was a lot, you know, that the equipment was really poor, very few helmets. You know, as we talked about, players wore their hair long to protect their skulls. And so this UVA player, Archer Christian, died in a game at Georgetown in 1909, and it was just the straw that broke the camel's back when it came to the public accepting this game, because football was just it was still, you know, changing and trying to find out what it was going to be. It wasn't like it is today, where it's almost America's pastime. So, you know, after many different discussions with the NCAA and President Alderman here from UVA, Dr. Lambeth was put on the rules committee, and he helped change the rules and actually was one of the driving forces on that committee. And so just like the Elysian Fields in baseball, I think that we can pinpoint, in my opinion at least, and I hope I'm not exaggerating here, the very first place that happened with football as we know it today was on the grounds of UVA, because Dr. Lambeth took those new rules that they were working on in March of 1910 and took them and gave them to the football team here at UVA and had them practice under these new rules, and then reported back to the rules committee and said, it looks like things are looking pretty good. The game's a little bit more wide open. It doesn't seem to be as many collisions, doesn't seem to be as dangerous.
And you found letters between Walter Camp at Yale and Dr. Lambeth at UVA.
Absolutely.
Where they're talking about how are the rules working out, what's it look like. Lambeth Field was the laboratory where college football, where football in America was born.
Absolutely. And that was before
an unbelievable story.
Right. And that was before the colonnades were built. So it was still just a big grass field with a hill and these really crude wooden bleachers. And, you know, some fans came up in a horse and buggy in order to be able to see the action on the field. But that's the place where that happened. So if Ken Burns says Elysian Fields is it for baseball, then I say Lambeth Field is it for football.
Amazing. The place where American football was born, right here in Charlottesville. We need a historic marker. So we're going to work on that, because there should be one out there. And it's an unbelievable story to think of, that they're experimenting with these rules. And Lambeth, wasn't he the guy that came up with four quarters give the guys a chance to rest?
Yep. Before then, they just played two halves, very little rest. And he thought that was one of the main reasons why people were getting hurt, because, you know, there were no substitutes. Or if you came out of a game, you didn't go back in. So players would just, even if they're hurt and exhausted, they wouldn't want to come out of a game. So without, you know, having these two other breaks, you know, these two other 10-minute breaks in between the quarters, you know, they were just ready to, you know, liable to be hit by someone that's huge. And that's where a lot of these injuries were happening. So, you know, that was the main reason for that four quarters rule.
Amazing. Kevin Eds, he's with the Discovery Channel, and he's at work on a documentary film history of UVA football and really the story of American football, born right here in Charlottesville. It really is a compelling story, and it's going to be a blockbuster of a documentary. I'm really excited about it. It'll premiere this fall, and of course, we will be keeping you updated about the progress of the project, and folks can check it out online at uvafootballhistory.com, and you can also read Kevin's newest article about the history of football fields. We've just scratched the surface. There's so much more, including archival photographs. The real story about all these fields and where they were and the story of these different fields, that is available at thesaber.com. Kevin, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck tomorrow with all the shoots and all the folks you're going to be talking to tomorrow.
I appreciate it.